Hey, I'm recording this, Oscar, if that's okay with you.
Got
So yeah, I don't I'm sort of curious. We had so much to talk about. I never even really got a chance to ask Mark a little bit more about his background, but maybe can you tell me about yourself or what you're up to or
I've been here. Actually, I've had a bit of a comeback right now because I took a, let's say, 3 months or so, a little bit more of a break from all of this. But yeah, before that I was working with EA Support, the ESBs and EA's Marketplace. I don't know if you know them, but yeah, actually after that came back and started from scratch again.
Well, that's funny
But
because you said the last 3 months. So in the last 3 months, I got introduced to EOS.
and it's been a lot has happened in the last 3 months.
Oh my
So
gosh, it's crazy. It is crazy how much has happened. It's impossible to keep up.
yes,
Just trying to keep up with everything is just insane.
exactly. So it's exactly the same I've been thinking, and a lot of people I noticed, and I knew I wasn't really paying attention to everything, but I knew that the price was coming down, was crashing, and I only by that I knew people are not going to be happy about this. There's a lot of people that I know that are going to be leaving the space, and as a matter of fact, a lot of people did, and several apps that I knew were on EOS just migrated, and it's sad because people left because of the price, but we have a lot more to offer, and they know this because, for
Well, that
example, I
they
don't know if you
the
know the team from Nice One.
well the
Nice
challenge
One
is
are great guys, and they I once had the opportunity to work with Niels, which is one of the team members, and he said, "Look, I know people are not happy about the performance of the token, but what I've been telling people is that we don't really care about that. The token can go all the way down to zero. We don't care. What we care is that we can build here, and this is the best place to do it."
Well, and that's an interesting sort of dichotomy of perspectives that's occurring because, as a technically astute and curious person, I'm hooked. I can't get away from EOS now because I'm just too curious and want to be part of whatever's going on. But from a person who's just looking at it from a token price, they're like, we keep hearing all this talk about whatever, and it's like a shitcoin FUD kind of dialogue where they don't really understand. You know what I'm saying?
People they're always gonna complain about Block One and say, as soon as you tell them EOS, they think of Block One and say, come on, Block One scammed everyone, and we're like, oh my God, this Block One thing again. If not, if they don't mention Block One, they're gonna mention the ICO. They're gonna say, all right, you raised $4 billion and did nothing with that. I'm like, oh my God. This still hurts. I said that to another guy on Twitter the other day because he was like, "Come on, $4 billion and you did nothing." And I was like, "Oh my God, that still hurts, right?" It still hurts people that their chains cannot have not been able to beat that historical event.
Well, I think that narrative's definitely changing. I mean, and ENF
Of
has done a good
course.
job to
Yeah,
create that shift.
a lot
And
of people have been working hard, and I know in the last 3 months a lot of people have left at the beginning, but I know by now a lot of people are committed to stay, and because of all the great things that are happening,
so,
there's people like Glue Dog. I don't know if you know him. Glue Dog is he's a guy that's been around for a long time, but he's the one that would say. I don't know if it was him, but I saw someone the other day saying, "Oh, come on, make Block Pierce president already." Like, look,
wait, who said that? Glue Dog said that?
I don't remember if it was Gluto or if it was someone else, but I remember that someone said, "Make Block Pierce president already." And I'm like, come on, we're doing our best. Everyone is doing their best.
Glue Dog is a very interesting topic and name that you brought up, and I don't even really like that's a whole discussion for me that is fascinating because I'm very curious about this Glue Dog character. Well, because what I notice is he shuts down a lot of dialogue. He gets wonky sometimes. It's just cussing at people and I don't know.
You can expect that. You can expect that from someone who's been here from the
ICO. Right. Yeah, I see that. So, anyways, what's your background? Are you a coder, or what's your deal? Do you have a Pomelo?
No, I'm not a coder. I'm not a developer. But I've been working in the translation area for projects for a while. Like I told you, I wasn't in EA support, mm-hmm. and with the ESBs, and I did a lot of translation and helped in communications and stuff like that. So I was here and there and everywhere, but I haven't really been able to get on the developing area yet. And like you say, I still haven't been able to go all the way back to the ESIO trainings courses. But since you brought it up today, I am glad I'm not the only one receiving these spam messages saying, hey, remember they have these courses that you haven't finished.
Dude, those courses are awesome. I want to go back to them, and I don't even have the time because I'm just trying to keep up with the new EOS news and what's going on.
They are, but sadly, I think that by now, with everything that's come up, they're gonna be left behind because they're not gonna be enough. Because Mandel is coming too.
I agree, but there's just some foundational, like just on blockchain.
Of course, all the bases are still there. Still there, and they're gonna be good. But for example, if you want to go further than that, you're gonna have to find some other place to go. I've already told the ENF that they should be offering courses. Because yes, I know that you're putting up all the documentation there, and it's great because developers can go there. You can go ask to on the developer channel. That is amazing. But what would be amazing too is that I can pull all that on my resume or on my profile on LinkedIn and say, hey, I've done this. And not only I have, but it's backed by the ENF, which is a pretty nice badge that I would like to show on people's faces.
Mm-hmm. So
look at our foundation. The ES Foundation has or is able to give you a certificate and say, all right, we are the ones who did this. A decentralized community is doing this, is making this possible.
So are you a part, are you going to join this team? I can't, I guess Patrick and Ryan are observing, and Sebastian's in the group, I see, or listening. I don't know if he wants to say anything. He's welcome to if he wants to speak up. We're just chatting.
Hey, hi. Hi, can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I just wanted to join in, see what the group is all about. I didn't really have time to read through all the messages, but nice to meet you.
Yeah, sure. Nice to meet you. I don't even know how exactly it came out. I was in the middle of, and I'm still in the process of trying to work out a interim solution for the EOSBs for language translation of YouTube videos, which got me delving into what a SRT file is. It has to do with closed captioning. And so basically, I can share my screen here and just show you since you're here. Let me move these things around. I need to open up. My computer is not the fastest, so I try not to have too many things running. But
I have a laptop. I do a lot of things on my phone. I think it's
I have actually a faster computer I should probably switch to, but so anyways, there's this program I use it's part of the Blaster suite. Lingo Blaster is the component that I've been playing around with, but basically it has a API that allows you to connect to a YouTube channel and use is a machine learning AI type translation thing to, it can do 10 languages at a time.
So basically
I was just experimenting with this because I purchased the use of the software and have intended use in the future for it, but I didn't have an immediate use for it now. But seeing this whole issue with language translation come up, I thought I'd offer it for Jesse to try, take a stab at. And there's a sort of learning curve with it, and I decided to start playing it with it myself. But basically, this is the interface, and let me show you what basically I've done here. Sorry, my computer is not the fastest.
And oh, good. I got time.
And so, let's see here. This is the video I started with, which is a copy of the original video. And so I've published it into these different languages. And so you see here, there's a column for title and description. Yeah. And then there's a column for subtitles. So really all that means is title and description is literally, let me close this one. And then like, I'll just show you on the, this is the title and description. So this is title, this is description. Right. Closed captioning is a text that displays on the screen while it's playing. And if you go here, now this text that appears in the screen is automatically generated by YouTube's machine learning algorithm. So when you put in the primary language is English and you speak in English, it eventually auto captions it. And you can see the transcript right here. You could actually look at the transcript. If there is one, it'll show you it. But this is just the front end. This is what any, you know, normal person could see. But if you were to change languages now on this one, see now, for example, I know I'm pretty certain I did this. I translated this one into French. So now you'll see the, okay, so this one I actually did not translate. Which one is this? YouTube. Okay, so this is my new one. Let me back up. Let's go to this one. So when it first comes online, it only comes up in the primary language. And when you change the language selector, it doesn't change the title and description. But see now, see my language selector is in French. This one's showing up in French. And then if I play it, or I could do it this way just because it's faster, you can see the transcriptions are all in French. Now, all of this French that's in here is a translation based on YouTube's original machine learning algorithm. So it's only, the translation's only going to be as good as the base script it starts with, which I did not review. You know, I didn't go through or whatever.
Yeah, right. But they are pretty good at what they're doing.
It's not bad. The problem is I don't know exactly what happens when people say or ah, because it shows up as UM and AH. I don't know what the language translation does with that in the foreign language.
Right.
Correct. And then this software, just so you know, when you deal with the actual, so now right now this is dealing with the, I'll just walk you through this. Oops. So I'm actually, there's two, there should be more here. Refresh videos, I should see more. Okay, so like, this one right here has no, I haven't done the language translation on. See, I put a V2. And I hate this stupid tutorial thing keeps popping up in this interface. You just can't get around it, I guess. Just so tired of it. And now it's defaulting to my prior language selections. It lets me do up to 10 at a time. Okay. Then I hit next step. And we close that again. And now it lets me preview and edit the primary starting language, which is English. So it starts off, this is what it's pulling out of the YouTube video. And what you're supposed to do in here is exclude like proper names. So like if it said Jesse Jaffe, you don't want that to be attempted to be translated. You know, like Mark, Ryan, Oscar, I don't know. You know, what'll happen. I'm not going to exclude anything, but you know, excluding things could be like acronyms or just weird things that don't translate well into other languages. Like what happens with Lingo Blaster? You know what I'm saying? Should this be excluded? And I'm just going to exclude it. you know, and so basically you get this, what is shit, whoops. See, this software is glitchy. There it goes. Okay. So now we'll just go ahead and exclude that for. Then we hit save. Then we go to next step. And now what it's doing is, see, it's cloud translating all the different translations.
Wow.
Cool. So now none of this stuff is actually being pushed to the YouTube channel yet. It's still all it's still doing the translation in the cloud. It won't publish till I hit publish. This interface will allow me to edit the titles and descriptions in the various languages. But when I change the captions, it doesn't allow me to edit them. I have to actually publish them to YouTube and then edit them on YouTube.
I see.
So, you know, that may be a better feature. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the best way to deal with this is. I'm just showing you how this way works. So yeah. You see, Spanish is finished, and it shows.
What I was trying to tell you the before we caught up the other call was that there is this channel on YouTube called Vsauce. It's been around for a while now. He's an educational channel that's pretty good. I actually like it. I love it. And he has exactly what you're saying. I don't know how he does it, but when you change the language of your, even on your phone, on the app, it changes everything. It changes the title, the description, and the caption as well. And I don't know how he's doing that, but it's pretty good.
All right. And so I started looking at existing services and alternatives that already are out there. This was one. And they actually use a sort of crowdsource type of solution that I thought was interesting. Maybe it's something that we can learn from or not. I don't know. Another thing that I just wanted to point out, and I already mentioned this before in some of the other groups, is Viki is like a Asian Netflix. You find content here that is largely Asian produced, Korean, Chinese, not as much Japanese, but mainly Chinese, and I think some Korean. But if you look at their community page, it's sort of interesting. See what they have here, the top contributors. They have a method where the actual viewers become contributors for language translation. And
that's pretty good.
And I became fascinated with this because I watched these videos, and at the end of the videos, they give credit to the team that was developed. I don't even think they pay these people. I think they're just so many foreign language speakers that speak enough English. They, you know, I don't. So I thought, man, can we tokenize them? I don't know.
That's similar to what the Translate Me network is doing.
I know.
Something like that. And they are tokenizing the whole platform is tokenized, and they are rewarding people.
Yeah, and so I just thought, you know, I don't know. I just thought these were interesting kinds of parallels, you know. So here we are with this. And so continuing on, I just want to show you. This is version 2, right? So I don't think I published this. Yeah, this is, okay, version 2, yeah. So if you go to version 2 now, you see it shows up in English, and let's pause this. And if we go to the back end of version 2, which is this one, version 2. Okay, you notice there's only English. It doesn't even have subtitles yet because the YouTube built-in captioning process has not run on this video yet because I just uploaded it. But now what I'm going to do is go back here and I'm going to hit publish. Watch what happens. It's done. Okay, now if I go back here and I refresh this, look. I not only I forgot to change my console. See, now I have all the languages because I just pushed them all out there, but I don't have the captions yet. Now I want to get back to English because I hate it when I do this to myself on this screen, because then I forget how to get back. I'll go over here. I think this is the easier way. If you get stuck in another language, because when you use this language selector, if it puts it, you put it in Chinese, you literally can't read the screen anymore. I just remember if you're viewing it, there's this line right here, and it's the 1, 2. See, you, I can read this. I can understand French well enough to get it back, but just be careful. Okay, so anyways, but even though I have these other languages in the title descriptions, I don't have the caption text yet, because the caption text does not exist. So I have no way to translate it. But like, for example, so now it's back to English. I could choose Chinese or Korean, for example. And I'm pretty sure, just so you know, Korean is the very bottom one. That's how I think it is. That's what I think. I could be wrong. Now, yeah, this,
it's about right.
Yeah. This should work. Whereas this would have been English earlier. So I should see the title and description in Korean. See, notice it didn't change the word YouTube. I didn't exclude it, but it decided not to translate it because there's no... See, now this, EOS translation team, Fractally, I did not exclude it, but it didn't know what to do with it. You know, it didn't know how to translate that proper name. So see, I did highlight Lingo Blaster. And see, it, I didn't exclude Mark, Ryan, and Oscar, but see, again, it had no translations for those.
Right, but in the... like in the translation of the written stuff, is there grammar problems? Or
I don't speak Korean. What, do you speak Russian?
Yeah. You I speak German. So
German? Let's maybe... try German. I got German. Yeah. I got German for you. Except I don't know how to get to German.
From it's Korean. Deutsch.
Deutsch. There it is. There it is. Oh, yeah, that's right. Duh. Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Yeah, well said.
Okay. So you tell me how this looks to you. Or actually, you know what I can do is just this. Here, I'm pasting this into the chat. If I can find the chat, let me get out of Telegram. I don't want that open.
Yeah, grammar is perfect. It's
perfect. Not bad. I don't think, I didn't look that bad.
There's no mistake in it.
So if you want to, I just sent that exact video, which has no captions, but just translated titles and descriptions. And if you click on the this one, OES Up and Stage, the only other public video is has captions translated, I believe. See here. And another way you can do it is like this. Now, so this is available to the front end user without back end access. But see, the problem is that if you wanted to allow users, because the way I'm thinking about it is from a resource standpoint, it makes sense to me. Man, it would be great if we can just rely on YouTube's auto captioning or auto dictation voice to text process as a quality, call it a quality based script, to where we just use machine learning to translate it. If we have to have a reviewer go back and review every language, it seems like so much more time and effort. I'd rather have it to be like when someone notices a mistake, they can report it, you know, and add it or something, you know, and review the word, you know. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
And I think over time, the other thing is there's two things I see happening is as time passes, a better understanding will develop of proper names that should be excluded from translation. And as more time passes, there might actually be a proper translation of names. You follow me, what I mean by that? Like EOS Foundation, there could be an actual Chinese.
It's not only translation, but also interpretation.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's needed.
Right. So basically, I spent just a little bit of time. I mean, I probably have spent just yesterday and today really delving in to how captioning works with YouTube, just realizing there's a huge value, not only for me to understand this from what I can contribute to the EOS ecosystem, but just from a web development standpoint. You know, there's a lot of good information here that can benefit just for YouTube viewers and making the service available to have their videos translated. You know, like I can do that right now with the software. Oh, another thing you should know about the software. Let's continue with this, if you don't mind. So I'm going to go down to Captionizer, and I'm just going to close that window for now and close that window because I don't need it. But so this video, I have titles and descriptions, but no. So now I'm at Captionizer. So now I'm going to select this video V2. The next step. Okay, so now it's going to want me to choose the languages. Ah, darn it. I thought I changed my language back, but I guess I didn't. Or maybe I did, and it's just not showing. Yeah, I did, and it just didn't show yet. Okay, so I don't need that. Okay, so right now you see there's no subtitles. So these are the languages I want to translate into, and the selector disappeared. So now this is a pain in the butt, and you know, I mean, I don't know what Translate Me is working with, but this thing does 10 at a time, and it always drives me nuts trying to remember which ones are in this list. Whoops, I missed the...
And how exactly would this help, like, the community? Like,
well, these are the top languages of the bees, the ones I'm using. And so these are ones that part of the reason I'm using these is these are the groups where Jesse has teams to verify or proof the translation. And ultimately, I think that personally, I like to see it translated in every freaking language there is, you know, available, you know. But see, for me to actually click on these and prioritize them, it's just a pain in the, it's just a lot of pointing and clicking. I feel like as a WordPress developer, I do way too much pointing and clicking. Russian, did I get? All right, which one am I missing here? Arabic, was that on my list? French, Korean, Spanish.
I don't think you are missing
French, German.
Any active hive. There are some. Well, let's. I
know I did 10 here, but I'm only doing 9 here because I want to show you what happens. I noticed this little. There's a couple little glitchy things that happens with the software that you should be aware of, or I don't know if you should be, but anyone involved with a Translate Me solution should be aware of. So now we're on this page where it says captions editor, and it says there's nothing here. So I go read captions from YouTube and no captions found. And see, that's what we're stuck on. Dang it. We have to wait for the captions to come in. But basically, I'm going to just... it won't let me read. So basically, once those captions appear, there'll be an added thing here where it'll say published in this column, and then I'll be able to pull in the captions from YouTube and then export them out to the other texts. I guess I can't obviously complete it till that populates. It usually happens the same day. So, oh, here's some other things. I don't know if you caught this before, but oh, interesting. It's not showing it now.
See, that's what I was telling you before. You can actually upload the file.
Yeah, you can. Oh, yeah, that's what I was looking for. So, do you know? You can upload the file, but do you know SRT file structure? That's the other thing I used learning. See if I can find an article. Yeah, this was actually a good article that I read, but this is how it's really straightforward. We got a 10-minute. I'm posting this in the chat.
I can host. I have Zoom Premium, so.
Oh, you wanna? If you wanna switch, we can. I don't care. But basically, what I noticed is there's this SRT file format. But I mentioned this earlier in let's just go to, I'm going to a video that's already got translations. Let's try this one. Whoops. Okay, so this one actually has subtitles published, but this is the other interesting thing. I was not aware of other types of closed captioning formats that I haven't looked at yet. I don't know if these are proprietary or open source, or they're more data rich than SRT, but all SRT is a timestamp of the beginning and the end of when the text should appear in the sequence of a video. So it's not just the text, it actually has timestamps of when that those words should begin. Let me just find where's the example? I don't know if there, did I miss it already? I guess, but basically this is just all it is, hours, minutes, seconds, milliseconds. So you have a number to another number and then text that appears below it. There's a screenshot up here, I think. Is there? Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
That's how it looks like. And so I don't know, like I can't imagine you're gonna have a human user generate, you know what I'm saying, like dealing with this, because you screw up the numbers here, get the syntax wrong, and it breaks it. And when you look at it from this perspective, the thing that when you, because one of the things what I was trying to get from Jesse originally is I was trying to download the entire transcript, but you can't do that unless you're the YouTube account creator. Like if you look at it from the front end, it's just a user. The most you can do is show the transcript, which is showing it like this.
You actually can, but not without, not directly on YouTube. You have to go to the third party.
Right. Application and do it. Right. Right.
The service, like, I don't know. There's a YouTube SRT downloader. You can just look for that online.
Last thing, the way this software works is I have an account that allows me to connect my YouTube account, which this is a YouTube account that I've connected, and this is actually incorrect. I should refresh it. And see this one over here? This is actually different. What I did is I purchased something called the agency link. I don't know why it's not showing anything. Oh, there it goes. See, there, it shows 4 videos now. So basically the idea behind the agency link is I have a client that wants to allow me to translate their videos for them, but that they don't want to give me full access to their YouTube account. So I copy this link, I send them the link, and then I'm going to pretend, I'm the client. Whoops. I'm the client now. Okay, and I'm clicking on this link. And now this is the account that actually my YouTube account that is associated with it. So I'm just pretending This is now I'm the client over here. This is me as a client. And as a client, you actually choose which channel you can give access to. It doesn't give them full access to the entire shebang. And so I choose this channel. Okay. And then what does it do? It says see, edit, and permanently delete your YouTube videos, ratings, comments, and captions. Manage your YouTube account. So the idea behind this is a client could give me access to control one YouTube channel. But it is sort of scary because in theory, this API access, I could delete their videos or lose their data potentially, you know, I guess, I don't know. But anyways, I'm gonna go ahead and hit allow just to show you how this works. Okay, so now it says I can close this page, so I'll close the page. So in theory, if I refresh this, I should see another channel out of here, which is here. There's no videos in it, but these are essentially clients. This one are clients of mine, I guess.
Okay, so it only works when you have access to the original account who published the video.
Right. I can't edit the video without having direct access or API access. And that API access is granted through this agency link or by adding a YouTube account. I can't add another one because I need to upgrade my version. And I don't want to remove this. Well, I guess I could remove it. Would it make a difference? I don't think it would make a difference. I'll just add it back just so you can see. I mean, it's really no different. Oh, no. Oh, that's weird. Interesting. See, it's much as me playing with this software. That's funny. It wants to like, let's try it now. Did I just break it?
Guys, I'm getting a call right now that I have to answer.
Okay.
But,
go.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's really interesting. And I think it's awesome for the bees to have that. So see you next time.
All right. Take care.
Well, take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't know why it does that. It's sort of funky. So anyways, this is what I'm working with as the interim solution for language translation. And I personally I don't mind getting paid or helping out with language translation, but honestly, I don't know if it's the best value I can provide, but you know, it's something.
No, but it's very useful because, for example, I said it before, the every time the foundation publishes something, when the ENF publishes something, they do it on English, Korean, and Chinese. But other languages have to, I don't know, figure out what they're going to do if they want to have access to the same content. So they have to go somewhere and, do a translation themselves. If they don't speak the language.
Right.
And if I'm pretty sure they are doing that because they know that there is a lot of people from Asia, from these countries, that are actually using this information.
Right.
And if they're doing this, it's because they are acknowledging the fact that we need to broaden the scope and offer the information for a wider audience. So this is something that we need.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way I look at it is this, is that this whole dealing with the web in its transition, as well as the marketing aspect to it, we're using an awful lot of third-party services. So for example, Medium, okay? Medium as a website is a great place to post content because you're gonna get good ranking when you post on the Medium domain, but the Medium website in itself does not have any methodology for multilingual versioning. You know what I'm saying?
No, so it doesn't.
So what you end up doing is you cram all these languages into one page. What are we going to do when we want to handle more languages, have one post with 20 different languages all in one page? It doesn't make sense to me. You get what I'm saying? It's sort of like, I don't know exactly how long
and you're, And your options are either doing that or doing a different post for every language.
I know. And so, I mean, but see, I guess it's the question of how long are we going to continue to use Medium? How long are we going to continue to use YouTube? How long are we going to continue to use Web2? You know what I'm saying? Like, when are we moving to what and how? And, you know, when does it make sense? Yeah. You know? Because right now, it's almost like we need to build transition tools. We need to build tools, cobble tools to deal with the third-party proprietary services that we're all hodgepodging together. Because it's just madness right now. Like all the different platforms that you're used between Facebook and Twitter and Discord and Telegram and Medium and Mighty Networks and, you know, this OAuth login and this crypto wallet and that thing. It's just like, my gosh, how many... All right, sorry about that.
Don't worry about that. We had Hive for publishing too on the blockchain, but you know how that ended, so.
Honestly.
That website is the one I was talking about. That if you want to download the subtitles from a channel you're not the owner of, you can just use something like that.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah, I was just looking at this. So anyways, I was just interested with the whole subtitling thing because it seems as though it's something can provide immediate value to the community.
Definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the translating network, the guys have been trying to do something about it for a while. They started last year, I think.
I got a looping audio issue here. Hold on, I think.
Yeah, I can hear it too.
What's going on? I wonder if that's my settings or... Try talking again?
No, I don't think it's happening because...
Okay.
I heard the same looping when you were talking. The TranslateMe network guys, they try to do it. They've been trying to do it ever since last year. They try to deploy on EOS, but you know what they say? They said that they've been perfecting the system in order to actually deploy the chain. And we're waiting for that. But in the meantime, we need to come up with a solution.
Okay, I want to figure out this. Well, not this one. Download is what it is. Where's the download? There's two other file formats that I'm not familiar with that it mentions in YouTube, and I want to figure out if they're proprietary. Oops, dang it. VTT, my computer is so slow. I don't want to unpublish. Okay, download. All right, right here. VTT and SBV. SVT, was it? Because I don't know if these are proprietary or if they're more advanced.
Right. I just found an article about it.
Okay, what did you find? Was it SVB? SBV, yeah. SBV. Because I didn't know if these are like newer standards that are open source or if there's a wider adoption or I don't know.
Broadly, it's a format for this point in time, text tracks, such as subtitles or captions, using the track element.
Oh, see, VTT is HTML5, so it might be better to start thinking in this direction then. I don't know. Because, like, a lot of times, you know, this captioning, this SRT stuff has been around for almost a decade now, and still people haven't caught on to it.
Well, this article is pretty good. It has a lot of examples.
Share the link in the chat.
I did.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry, I missed it. I don't see my chat, that's why. Oh, this is bizarre. Okay, cool. Thank you. Sorry about that. We'll close these ones. Well, here's the good news, is the information in SRT files is all available for indexing in search engines. So the whole narrative of transcript of what's spoken all of a sudden becomes data as retrievable or discoverable by search engines when you do this in all the different languages. This software also has this thing called Rankerizer that allows you to it does something to help improve the keyword search for YouTube videos. I have no idea what it's actually doing, but this is sort of a little bit outside of the realm of language translation, but it is within the realm of web marketing, and it's one of the options with the software program. Oh, since you're here, check this out. I have a voice generator, and it takes up to 20,000 words per second, or per run, excuse me. And I was going to attempt it. I did the white paper, the Fractly white paper PDF in Russian using this. But what I found out is the amount of time it takes me to do this, it equals the amount of time it takes me to get weird characters out of my text. So when I dealt with the white paper, the PDF had a lot of header and footer and, you know, weird symbols and things that just was.
Yeah, that makes stuff, because after you get the transcript or the translation done from a document like this, then you're gonna have to go and verify and take all the headers off, all the, sometimes even the numbers of the pages.
Right. And so, see, I didn't really document my process in this thing well, but I started screwing around with, here, let me display something for you. I don't have any German though. I didn't do anything in German, but here's the, This is a.
我们在Pomelo上对 Eden Election 的宣传始于几个月前，当时我们正在讨论 Eden 是否需要更频繁。In
fact, this software, I haven't had a lot of experience with AI dictation, but I'm thinking this software might be one of the higher quality versions of language. Like if take something you want to translate, give me some text. Do you have anything that's a value that we could do? How about this? Pomelo pitches. See, that's what I started doing for people. I was just screwing around with the software and I started translating people's Pomelo pitches into foreign languages and just posting it on Telegram. But let's do this one. What a good Pomelo pitch to have translated into another language. So like, I was just trying around stuff like this. Bam, okay. And now without even looking at the text, without even worrying about if there's anything in here that I need to deal with, I'm gonna hit translate, English, German, because we have a German speaker here, I'm assuming. I hit translate. Okay. And now, without even letting Sebastian review this text, I'm just going to hit AI voice. And it's choosing Nina. And I'm going to hit generate voiceover. And no, I'm not going to split it. But you're supposed to add commas, put enters, space things out to make it pause and whatever. I don't even care. I'm just going to just let her rip, see what happens. My voiceover has been created. Then I go down here and here it is, and I can hit play.
Echtzeit-Übersetzungslösung. TranslateME ist ein Grassroots-Projekt für maschinelle Übersetzung, das dem Zusammenbruch der Kommunikation zwischen Communities auf EOS und Online-Plattformen entgegenwirken soll. TranslateME kann einen Open-Source-Dienst für Entwickler
und... that's just a preview, I guess, so it doesn't do the whole thing. But,
but it was fine. Like, there was no mistake in it, and the voice sounded not too much of a computer.
Right. So for me, if you feel that way, I'm like, man, there's enough technology already we can slap together to make of use of for functional value, where maybe we don't have to proof every single thing, or over time we can get community in, put her feedback to improve it or whatever. But it's just like, man, the amount of time it would take for every single video to be viewed in every language approved is just, it just complexifies. No. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's fine. Like, for the basics, for people who, I mean, I only speak English and German, so would it be good? I would like to use
Übersetzungslösung.
It.
Oops, TranslateME ist ein Grassroots-Projekt.
So anyways, this thing will do up to 20,000 words per run in terms of translating it from text to an AI voice. And just so you know, check this out, Sebastian. Okay, now, some of these voices are not AI voices. The difference between the AI voice and a regular voice, I think it has a better inflection of language. But let's go to standard and let's try a male voice. Or actually, can this do it? See, AI doesn't work in that. Let's do any of the male voices work at AI? No, probably not then. So let's just do this one and just let's listen to the difference since you're here. And so what I'm saying is, man, all this work coming to this interface and copying and pasting and going over here, and it's like, for me as a WordPress developer, I do a lot of pointing and clicking and copying and pasting, and I'm just like, man, can't we make this into a machine learning script?
Echtzeitübersetzungslösung. TranslateME ist ein Grassroots-Projekt für maschinelle Übersetzung, das dem Zusammenbruch der Kommunikation zwischen...
I even think that one sounds a little more robotic.
Yeah, I don't speak German, but that one sounded like a robot.
Right, so these AI voices are better, you know what I'm saying? Like this one?
Yeah,
like
this. They are by far. I mean, this sounds like a real person having bad cell phone connection. No.
Okay, so now let's check this out. Going back to this, if I copy this back in, let me just show you one last thing here. If I, because I don't like translating from an already translated language, I always like to go back to English, and because that's my base language. I don't know if it makes a difference. Oh yeah, I guess it's, there's, so now look at my language options. There's 90, I think there's 98 different languages. Is that what they said? Oh, no, I think there is, actually, I think there is, we'll find out. But let's try another, do we wanna take another stab at a different language just to hear?
You can put Spanish, I speak Spanish.
Okay, Spanish, let's try Spanish. All right, Castilian, Catalan, Mexican, U.S. I guess Spanish, U.S. That's what Veronica said. Does it make a difference to you?
Mexican is actually more in the center, so it's the closest we have to a standard.
If you understand Spanish, I'd like to hear what you think of a Mexican Spanish translation.
let's see.
Or because I don't know how it actually translates in much different. And see now, because I chose to translate it to that, it's already selected Spanish language. And now let's go to AI voices. And now, it's choosing a female, doesn't support AI in the male voice. So let's just go with the one that is suggesting to me. And I'm not using any punctuations. Okay, so now I should have it here and we can test listen to it.
Solución de traducción en tiempo real. TranslateME es un proyecto de traducción automática de base que contrarrestará la interrupción de
Damn,
la comunicación
that sounds good.
Entre la
Yeah, and check this out. Speaking rate, you can adjust it. So, it's a pretty good software program for what I paid for it and what it can do. It's not bad, honestly. And I'm not suggesting, like, the last thing I want to do is be like the full-time copy and paster for the US community, you know, but, you know, and so this is what happens is I download these things now. Okay. So let's download this one. So I'm going to go ahead and throw these into the Telegram group, I think. So if you want, I want to make sure I got the right one, 530. Oh, I didn't download that one. Okay. Yeah. That one is the so basically I have two AI language translations and one non-AI.
Echtzeit Übersetzungslösung.
Throw them in the Telegram group here in a second. But what I was thinking is, I don't know why. I convert everything. These are MP3s. I convert them to AUG just because I'm like open source, you know, obsessed. And I'm like, AUG is more open source than MP3. Is there going to be licensing issues with using MP3 or whatever? But when you do this, these files have no metadata, no metadata whatsoever. So as I usually convert them, and then I go back and add tags into them because I want the audio files to be discoverable, you know, but I don't know how much effort, because all that tagging takes up so much time, and it could all be automated is the way I look at it. It could be all be done better. So let me get Telegram. So if you guys want to listen to these more, just play with them. And the other thing I found out is AUG files, when I convert them, they take up a lot less space than the TeamViewer versions. Or not what I'm saying, the MP3 versions. I think I should be able to just copy these into Telegram. So anyways, that sort of deterred me a little bit from the video, the second video I was making for Jesse.
Well, this could work very well for podcasts.
Yeah, you know, and I just thought it'd be awesome if we came out with a really slick, simple interface for the workflow for multimedia production that we use in the OS community that we could sell the whole rest of the world onto. I thought that'd be awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
I had been wondering, does this software do the opposite? Does it do it the other way around? Like, you have an audio file and you can convert it to text?
No, I don't think. It goes text to audio. It does this thing, but this is just more like for marketing. No, I forgot what this thing even does. Like, I haven't really even used this software. Oh, I don't have Scriptalo. No, those are just built-in scripts. Speechalo only generates voice. Wait, let's see what this training thing is. Oh, that's just a true, yeah. No. So basically, we're relying on YouTube's machine learning voice to text captioning, I guess. But I definitely think this VTT, I mean, it doesn't look that different from SRT.
No, but the fact that you said that the SRT are indexed.
Yeah.
Very good. I don't know about this this VTT, though.
It's no different, I don't think. I think it should definitely be indexed, too. But yeah, this is all... I mean, that's a whole lot of content that's not being indexed that could be. And just by virtue of making a video, what do you call it, translated into other languages, that in itself is a boost in Google and search engine algorithms. You know, let alone what viewers you actually get that are watching those videos now. Yeah. You know, but, you know, and like I said, you know, having a cookie cutter automated machine learning way would be really slick, you know, just like Because the thing is there's always going to need time and energy for improvement and real human beings. But if we could just get a good bulk of stuff done with a high degree of quality, you know, at a low, you know, where it's all basically technologically leveraged, I think that would be awesome. Because we're generating so much content now that, you know, can't be kept up with.
Yeah, it's difficult to keep up because there is a lot of things. There are a lot of things coming up. So
the other thing I was sort of curious about is, this is just a side note, is I don't know side if anyone... Note is,
I don't know if anyone...
There I go. Heard about the feedback from Mac developers on... Because I know they were going to survey in terms of Mandel development, how many people are developing on Macs. And I was like, man, we shouldn't exclude Mac developers. Like, if they stop that now, they're probably not going to pick it up again in the future. And I was just wondering, I didn't really hear anyone talking about that. Maybe it's in English only.
If I can find anything about that. Because there is definitely a channel about that, I think. Let me see.
Let's see if my thing finished. I bet you one of this thing might have finished
or not.
Caption.
No, I didn't find it, but there must be something somewhere.
Still not, it looks like. Oh, okay. It still has a transcript, it says. So I should refresh this and see a change here. So right now it says nothing published in subtitles. So if I hit refresh, I should see something in this column, say published. Yeah. And I'm English making a video so today, a dual purpose video. All right. So now you see it says published because the YouTube automatic thing came on. This is the danger I found out if you use English US. I don't know how to explain this, but if you use English US, what ends up happening is when you try to watch it in English, it actually shows the wrong language because it just auto selects another language. So if you run into that problem, just remember, if you're confused, just do that, change it to English. So anyways, right now, if I were like to go here and I were to switch into German, you will see that the description and title will change, but the closed caption text is still in English. Okay, so we see the German, and then the YouTube German. I'm going to close Telegram so don't need it open. But if we go to here, and we transcript and Ziegen, it's in English. And the reason is English because we have no German transcripts.
No, you have it, but for the title and description, not for
right.
The subtitle. But that's
right.
This is a moment when you go to the other page,
right now.
I guess.
Right now, so now I'm going to go through this because we couldn't do it earlier because it didn't have the base English text. Now it's there. Oh wait, I don't even know if this video is. Because I've removed the account and re-added it. Yeah, okay, it's there. So this is the one I'm working on because it's the version 2. And I click on it. Whoops. Ah, hate this stupid. I click on it. It's selected. I close this window. I hit next step. I choose. Click close this window. I have to choose my languages. See, this is so time. I wish I just could just choose the same languages again. You know? Can you make that? Can we build a better interface? And I always forget which exact languages it is, and I have to scroll down. I just like a batch select that I could program in here for my 10. Korean. And I'm even gonna do an imperfect job and just show you what happens when I get frustrated. No, just kidding. German, and then, okay, I'm just going to do 7 for now, just because I really don't, this video is getting deleted anyways. I was just messing around with it because I was, okay, so there's no captions here. I hit read captions. Now it should pull something in. When I tried doing this before, it didn't pull anything in.
Yeah, we got stuck at this point because he told you right. That there were none.
But okay,
this
moment, it's gonna see, now this is the SRT file displayed in this interface. It will not let me edit. So Jesse asked me, can we review and modify the edits here? And it will not let me, is what I found out. But this is not the edit. I mean, this is just English. So let's go to the next step.
I mean, not so there, now, but you can edit the original one in YouTube before doing that.
Right. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But once you deal with that base one, it's sort of like the only way you're going to edit the translated versions is on YouTube after they're published. I can't edit them through the screen, is what I'm saying. Okay, see now it's showing me Spanish, but see, I can only view it, I can't edit. So basically when this finishes, all I can do is publish it or not. So if I like the translation 90%, go, oh, I want to change this one word here, I have to actually publish it to YouTube, then go back and edit it on YouTube. If I want to take advantage of this method of translating, which obviously it's a lot faster than trying to manually do it with all these time sequencing. Oh man. So I didn't do the 10 that I normally did just for expediency, and I'm lazy because I'm deleting this video anyways, but I did do Spanish and German because we have some evaluators of those languages. So I hit publish. Now notice, see here, it only shows English. And if I refresh this page, it should not change. And it's refreshing. Oh, except. Ah, see, why did it do this? Because I changed the language selection over here. Actually, I don't care. I'm going to leave it that way. I can deal with German. So right now, you see there's still no things. The second I hit this and hit publish. And dun, dun, dun. It should now publish all of those. It's taking a little longer than last time. Okay, so now if I come back over here and refresh this, now remember I only did 7 of the 10. We'll figure out which ones I forgot to do now here. Okay, see, notice I didn't do Chinese, Turkish, and Swahili. So they're still showing unpublished, but all these now are showing published. And so if I come back over here and notice it's just still in English without doing anything but refreshing the page, this should now be in German. If it disappears, I have to reopen the window, but I should have now a German version. And I can verify that by reopening it. Voila. Okay. But if I go to Chinese or Swahili or Turkish, we're still going to be in the halfway done stage where the translation is occurred through the title and description, but not in the closed captioning. So I think I can get to Chinese and see how much Chinese is. I believe these are Chinese, and I think this is Chinese simplified. And we're running out of time again. And I think at this time, I'm just gonna call it quits here in a second. Okay, so now I'm in Chinese. Chinese title, description. But if I go, whoops, not that one. If I go here and here, this should now be Chinese. See, this is a problem. Look what it's done.
Yeah, it's showing you German because the whole page is in German.
Right. And I have German subtitles.
Exactly. Otherwise, you would be seeing English ones.
Yes. And what I found out is if you choose English, when you upload the video, you should choose English and not English US, because when you choose English US, it displays like Chinese captions, because it sees English as different as English US, which is partly a function of the software. So I learned not to use English US. So now we go back here. Oops, I got obviously. Let's think. Chinese shows German because I was in. Hold on a second. What happens? So, Korean I did. What happens with Chinese traditional? Because I didn't use. I don't know if Chinese simplified and Chinese traditional are the same thing. See, look at this one. So these are some of the weird glitchy things. These are some of the weird glitchy things that happen. Okay. And this needs to be addressed because this is going to be a real user issue. Whether you like it or not, every user has the ability to choose every language. The second I get done just doing some languages, you get weird glitchy things like this, where I'm in Chinese traditional now. The YouTube interface is in Chinese. Okay, but my language is in English. It's still in English for title description. Yet, whoops, damn it. The closed captioning has defaulted to.
I think that's Hindi.
Yeah, Hindi. See, that's why. Why? I don't understand this. It has something to do with things I don't understand, but it has probably to do with the fact that the back end doesn't have all the languages and it's defaulting. You know, like when I choose, this I believe is Chinese simplified, but how it knows that, I don't know. I mean, let's refresh this because I'm, but yeah, it's sort of like what I realized is that after I first did this, I went back to English and English was displaying Hindu. And I was like, and it really came back to that English US thing. I had two columns of English. And so basically there wasn't a captioned text for English, and so it chose the Hindi version instead. Whoops, I guess I need to fix my language selector. I'm still in, oh yeah, I'm in traditional Chinese. So in a sense, if you solve a solution for some languages, the way YouTube is behaving, at least with this third party software, is you sort of break it or create a problem for other languages. You know what I'm saying? It's like one thing to go through and for me to test it for the 10 languages I translated to, but do I have to go and test it for every other single language that YouTube offers it in? That's nuts. So I don't know why exactly that happens. I mean, are you following my concern?
Yeah, but I have no idea either.
Yeah, and so it could be a function of this application that I'm using. Maybe it's not interfacing with YouTube properly, or that's just a nature of the beast. Because like these languages here is one thing, but like if you go to one of my other videos, for example, I have it like if you go to this one and we look at the subtitles. Oops, not that one. Okay, so this one this is what happened, is when you choose English United States, later the automatic captioning doesn't classify it as United States, it classifies it as English. So you get a mismatch where you get one variant with title description and no subtitles, and then another variant with subtitles and no title description. which is bizarre.
But can you, when you click on edit, can you delete one of the tracks, one of the
subtitles? Yes, you can. And I think, okay, like for this one, let me go back to your question. So I'm still figuring this out because this is me playing around with YouTube. And so what I noticed is this is the original language I published the video in. Okay. So before I do anything, probably the thing to do here is edit the video and change the language. So let's try doing that first. So if I come over here, oh wait, not that one, not that editor. The description editor. I believe it was this one I'm working on. Okay, so down here. Oh no, I have no way. Okay, there it is. See this? This is where I made the mistake. You follow me?
Yeah.
Because if this is actually a different field than what the YouTube automatic captioning processes, so it creates a new data row. So I don't want to be like that anymore, I decided. So if I do this, will it merge my thing into, no, it's not going to. So now look what it's interesting, because what I noticed what happened is even though I changed this, it won't let me save the changes because I've already published it, I think is why. Do you follow me?
Yeah, so you have to republish the video.
Well, no, I'll show you what you do. Is first off, when you first publish a video, don't choose United States, just choose English. If the video is in English, just choose English. That's lesson number one.
If you mess up, you're gonna have to take it down and upload it again.
Oh, I don't understand what different. I don't think there's a terms of service violation if you use English versus English US if you're publishing a video in English. I think that's supposed to be what kind of English are you speaking in. You know, like I don't think it has anything to do with where you're physically located. I don't know. I don't get that into it. But here's what I think should be done is, can I just, what I'm wondering is, can I just, whoops, dang it, that's not what I'm wondering, is, I'm still figuring out this whole YouTube interface, is I want this all in one row, right? So there's a couple different ways I think. So right now, see what I've done here, is I already duplicated this, so all I have to do is add this to here, and then we can call it good. So the way I'm gonna do that is by, and this is just mainly for example, because this is all probably gonna get deleted all anyways. It's just me screwing around with it. Oh man, dang it. Okay, I copied this, make sure I copy that. And so if I just come over here and I just do this, whoops, that's, oh, I forgot the video description. YouTube translation. I don't even remember the exact title. I don't really care. Okay. Okay. So now what's happened is I can delete this row. I think. Can I? Maybe I can't. Ooh, if I can't delete it, that's even more fascinating to me, because now English United States is a whole new field that do I even want to have to deal with?